Hello, welcome to the latest episode of the 21cc podcast, brought to you by the Chartered Institute of Building. I'm Rod Sweet, editor of Global Construction Review. In this episode, we'll be speaking to the University College of Estate Management about their new outreach campaign among schools. We'll hear how tapping into young people's naturally fertile imaginations can help enthuse them about the interesting careers available in construction. But first, we know that high-tech companies down through the ages have often seen construction as a tantalizing frontier, ripe for disruption by new ways of putting things together. Now, the Swiss multinational manufacturer ABB has entered the fray with an idea for house building using robots at site-based microfactories. They've teamed up with a UK architect to develop the idea, and my colleague David Rogers found out more.
ABB is a technology company based in Zurich, with a long history as a maker of all the equipment you need to build an electrical grid. More recently, it's become a maker of process automation software, manufacturing control systems, marine engines, and a great deal more. Its revenue last year was $32 billion. All of which is to say that the company is a major player in the sectors in which it operates. So it's potentially of great significance that ABB has now turned its attention to using its industrial robots to make houses. To which end, it's teamed up with a UK startup called Automated Architecture, or OUR for short. The plan is to build microfactories, compete with an ABB robot, to make building elements from wood. If this concept proves successful, the hope is that it will lead to a global ecosystem of low-cost, high-efficiency off-site manufacturing. To find out what the company has in mind, we talked to Craig McDonnell, the Managing Director of Business Line Industries at ABB Robotics. What was it that persuaded ABB to choose a relative minnow like OUR as its development partner?
It's not an isolated investment in the construction space. As you'd expect with a company like ours, we've been spending quite a bit of time thinking about how we can make a difference in construction. And we came across OUR through an innovation challenge a while ago, where we reached out to a number of companies and were looking at the application of robot type technology in new spaces. They really impressed. You often see people thinking of different stages of processes or thinking of introducing new technologies by just looking at the technology. You see really good 3D printing out there. Guys are doing different parts, sub processes of a building better, faster, quicker. But there's only a few companies out there that I think are really thinking about this from an end-to-end perspective. And it's when you build a house, it takes 3 years to go from concept to actually laying a brick or putting starting the process. A lot of that, and as many of your listeners/readers will be very well aware of, is waste. And there's an awful lot of waste going on. And they took the opportunity to look end-to-end on a process and make the thing digitally native and try and eliminate all those buckets of waste. And yes, right at the end, there's a nice robot application, and I think there's a nice efficient way to make modules, but it really is the final stage of what is a much more integrated thought process here, which impressed us.
The key to the system, for Craig, is the way it digitizes the entire process and does so in such a way that the architects and engineers who are designing the building can take the possibilities of the manufacturing system and the costs of that system into account as they work.
Real-time connecting with data when whatever you're designing provides an excursion to what you can make in your automated process. And along with that as well, gives you real-time updates on the cost structures. These are typically sequential type processes. But if you as an architect and as a designer can be building up and developing a concept, say, in real time know the implications all the way down to the factory floor, you're making a real difference. It's not just OUR. We've done recent collaborations with companies like Skanska, and if you've managed to pick that one up. Together with companies like that, we're also looking at ways in which they're, in this case, rebar modular concrete modules, how you can at a design side, then automatically be able to then update and get real-time feedback as to what you're designing. Is it capable on what is a somewhat flexible robotic manufacturing system? And these benefits are in many ways much more significant than just the automation of the final part alone.
All of which prompts the question, to what extent does the requirements and capacities of the robot impose a limitation on what can be designed?
Ultimately, you've got a certain space that you can move around. There's a reach of a robot. There's obviously a weight restriction on how you can move these different objects around and the like. So ours specifically, I think, are 19 or 20-odd standard modules, which can then be intelligently integrated into, you know, a myriad thousands of different designs. But as we, when we look at it from an ABB perspective, we can put these robots on tracks. We can move the robot. And we have a number of other examples. For example, out of Canada, when we're doing large rebar systems that are going into projects like NEOM, which are, you know, many 50, 60 meters long. So when you think of the technical limitations there, they aren't that many. The fundamental benefit that a robot brings is the ability to use a single instrument to do multiple things. And when you're building a micro factory or you're having high degrees of variability, that becomes very important. You know, there have been lathes and other standardized equipment out there for a long time. Printers, dedicated printers, for example. But you know, if you're a printer one day doing a product, you know, 30 centimeters by 30 centimeters, and the next day you're doing 6 meters by 6 meters, really you need the flexibility that you get with an industrial robot.
And as Craig points out, another factor that needs to be taken into consideration is a rapid growth in the sophistication of robot technology.
To some extent, previously, it was a problem that you needed to have highly repeatable modules all the time. And yes, that is a benefit, and that always will be a benefit. But I think as robotics is advancing very quickly here, the ability to make variable systems is becoming much more significant. So the variation of what you can do with a modern robotic system versus what you could do just 10 years ago is vastly different. If you look at where we're investing a lot of money just in sort of core technologies around things like vision and learning processes, becoming better unstructured environments, these sorts of environments all help enable scale deployment of micro manufacturing with more variability. So it's a bit of a perfect storm. I mean, you've got the digitization story, and then you've got the pure control, vision, learning capability that's going on inside the robotic world that are coming together very nicely.
Another issue that might arise is how to go about setting up the micro factories that are going to make the building components, particularly given that most construction companies don't have the specialized skills that manufacturing companies do.
The way it works is we would expect contractors, so people and house builders, that they themselves become equipped with the capability to execute on a micro factory. So the way our structuring this is, if you've got an initial capital that you have in place to have this micro factory. And then on a license fee basis, you have the digital stack that goes with that. And that connects you all the way up through the design tools. So you essentially have the capability to do the complete design, the cost estimate, and the build from this. And our themselves are not going to be directly, they're not directly the builder. They're the licensor of the technology and the provider of the micro factory. And to give an example on some of the initial projects, there's a company called Rival Holdings in the Americas, or Fund & Bush out of Belgium, that are the actual builders and that have executed these micro factories and that are now using the digital stack that are bringing.
ABB is predicting that the move to local smart manufacturing will eventually extend well beyond the housing sector. And it has begun to position itself to take advantage of the trend when it becomes more established, as Craig explains.
Everything from building oil refineries, process plants on the other side, to the big process industries, to large-scale construction, large buildings. And there, you know, we are starting to see this micro-manufacturing concept come and start to develop as well. So earlier stages than with what we see with our, but we certainly see move there. And when you get into other areas of construction, things like welding, cutting, bending, things like, as I mentioned, the 3D printing of various materials, all of these are robotic applications. So we're at the moment are busy deploying these suites of applications at multiple different types of customers, but certainly see it moving towards a micro manufacturer, more of a local model going forward. That's the beauty of automation and standardization. You can do it.
Thank you, David, and thanks, Craig. It'll be interesting to see how this initiative goes. Now, the University College of Estate Management has been educating built environment professionals for generations, and they've launched a new campaign of outreach to schools. The industry has been talking to schools for a long time now, so my colleague Nadine Badu, editor of CIOB People, wanted to learn more about their approach.
Engaging with the next generation is crucial for the built environment sector to ensure a steady pipeline of talent. For the University College of Estate Management, UKEM, outreach in schools is a top priority. Charlotte Thackeray, UKEM's Outreach and Inclusion Lead, explains how raising awareness of the varied careers available in construction is helping to inspire school children. So let's begin with why outreach in schools is so important, not just for UKEM, obviously, but also for the wider built environment sector. It'd be great to hear your thoughts on that.
It's really important in that sense of just having that opportunity to speak to students and speak to schools and teachers and careers advisors within schools, local authorities, virtual head teachers. There's so much involved in the school, the world of schools, I guess. And that's really important for us as a university because, it's a great opportunity for us to talk about what we do in terms of the built environment and what a great sector it is. But I think also it's that opportunity to raise that aspiration and raise those expectations of higher education, that higher education is for anybody. And it's not something that anyone should ever be scared of or apprehensive about. Of course, there's so many different types of higher education that you can have now. We offer online education, which together with other universities like the Open University, very sort of more well known in that side of things, but also degree apprenticeships and other forms of the sort of blended learning that you get now. And so it's a really amazing way for us to say to young people, children, also those who are more mature, who might not have considered higher education back when they were at school or college. It was really important to sort of say to them, actually, you know, it could be for you at any point in your life. And it can, obviously, the built environment can be a sector that you can turn to and come into at any point in your life, which is also really important as well. So I think, yeah, that's why it's such an important thing for us.
And so what are some of the things that you're doing kind of proactively to really get out there, engage with schools, and I guess inspire that next generation of talent who might be considering a future career in the built environment sector?
Absolutely. So at the moment, it's a bit of a mixture of two things almost for us. That collaboration with the sector and working with the sector. Obviously, we're an education institution. We are bringing through the next generation of built environment professionals into the sector, some of which, of course, are already working in the sector or as degree apprentices and others who are looking to come into the sector further down the line. But I think for us, that collaboration aspect is really important. Working with some of our employers, working with built environment organisations as well. It's a really interesting way of sort of saying you can do a degree with us and then here's where you go next. And giving the students and the young people that more linear approach. So they can actually see the journey, they can see where they might end up. But also from our perspective, of course, it's about seeing that education aspiration side of things as well. So the collaboration side of things is very much working, as I say, with employers, built environment organisations, whether that be in schools physically or more raising awareness, sort of as part of what we're doing with the Be Part of the Change campaign and sort of raising that awareness of those, the great stories that are across the built environment in construction, in real estate, in quantity surveying, wherever it might be. And then when we're physically working within schools, it's about a lot of the work we do actually is around sustainability. Because that is an area where schools, that young people are really interested in it. And actually, you can learn these things through the national curriculum, through geography, through science. We know that the government is bringing a lot in to help support teacher CPD, particularly within science when it comes to sustainability over the next couple of years. However, by bringing in that higher level of education or others who are working in it in the sector, it's a really interesting way of putting sustainability into practice and seeing it in that practice. So, for example, we look specifically at how using sustainability encourages what encourages the built environment in the first place, basically, those buildings, those community spaces, how can they be built practically and sustainably in the first place, or how can they be modified or retrofitted to change over time? And it's always an interesting one. We say to children who built your school, and they always say, depending on the age, a builder, an architect, and an engineer. And those are the sorts of the roles that they know. And very rarely is it a chartered surveyor or a quantity surveyor. And so therefore it's about broadening out that sort of knowledge of what those surveyor, building control, building surveyor roles are, but also how they fit into the world of sustainability as well. And so then what we do is a sort of very practical one is we use Lego as a way of getting children to think about building a sustainable city. So they all build in groups, a Lego, whatever it might be, whatever building it might be. And the best bit about children is that whatever age, whether it's age six or they're in year 13, they will use their imaginations and they will build zoos and chocolate factories, houses, train stations, whatever it might be. And then what we do is we look at climate resilience and we sort of have fun testing those buildings as they're like, oh, the water might get in, or obviously Lego is pretty resilient, so that's always a good start when I'm doing that in the schools. But like thinking about wind and tornadoes and that kind of thing, because sometimes the children say, well, where is this city that we're planning? And it's very much a case of saying, well, where would you like it to be? And some children say, oh, this could be in England, or it could be in San Francisco, where they know things like earthquakes happen a lot and that kind of thing. So we had one group recently where the children just went, it's in a completely fictional part of their brain and a world that they created, which was really amazing as well. And they were like, well, in this world you wouldn't have any sustainability issues, could we do this, this and this? And that's when you can see that sort of developed learning, which is really, really great. And then what we do is basically finally to create that city, we sort of get them to think about the urban planning side of things. So it's that full sort of circle. And we think about actually, if you are putting a zoo in the middle of the city, how does that work in terms of your transport links, X, Y, and Z? And sort of getting them to think about the world of planning and that kind of thing. But also it's always nice if the students then go away and the next group come in and they can build on that city. And sometimes it's the case where children will go, well, that one's not built very well, can I take this building and go away? And they say, well, that's excellent, because that's when example of when you're retrofitting and that kind of things as well. So that's sort of a more practical example of some of the things we've done in schools with some of the schools particularly local to us in sort of that Reading area, but we work with schools across the country.
There is still, unfortunately, a real problem in encouraging young children and into careers in the built environment sector and making that an exciting, as you said, kind of aspirational place to work. So, but I mean, we've spoken about the importance of collaborating and that engagement with school children, but there are a number of companies that have been doing that for many, many years already. So why do you think that that isn't translating from that engagement that's already happening with schools and trying to ignite that passion and that excitement? Why isn't that translating into, you know, droves of young people seeing construction and quantity surveying and civil engineering as the career for them?
I think it's a very fair question. I think recently there's been a bit of a drive for those of us who are working in access and outreach to do more together. A number of us got together recently, sort of aligned through the Worshipful Group of Chartered Surveyors and the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust to effectively try and see what we were all doing, including the RICS and their very big ambassador network, which is a great network. And what we're all doing is sort of some of our employers in terms of that, yeah, those employers who are working in sort of really small scale, actually, how can we help support that and collaborate more? But then, like you say, it's not always translating through. And I think that that image of the sector is still an issue. And it's probably a really old story, but it is still the case that you don't see many women on a building site. You don't see or hear that there's some of those more good news stories. And I think recently, what we heard from the Construction Leadership Council, that their next gen representative saying, actually, we need to sell much more. Actually, it's not just about that. We know the figures aren't great, so make it about raising awareness of those really, really big, great successes of those stories that across the sector and what you're doing. And we're doing something at the moment around having built environment professionals standing in front of buildings that they built or sold or managed, because again, that's potentially something that's really inspirational. So actually, yeah, I could be involved in something like that. That is a building. I can see these buildings, and people have so much link to buildings. My favorite building in the world is Notre Dame, and I cried when that was burning down, like so many other people did. And it was just like one of those things where people have that link to that building. So sometimes it's about making that connection. But and as I say, we know that the face of the industry is and the sector is not ideal and could be much better. And there is that collaborative need to do that a bit better, to work more with employers, organisations, bodies, and whoever is involved in the sector to just say, okay, from my perspective, it is about raising the awareness of those real successes.
With that in mind, from your perspective, if there was one fundamental message that the industry really needs to deliver to school children, what would that be? What's the one thing that you hope through this outreach and engagement with schools that the school children really take away?
You can have a real impact on your community and the world through the built environment. It is a space where you can make real tangible change, whether you build something, you sell it to someone, whether you are involved in social housing, you can make a real impact to one family's life by giving them a roof over their head, or you can help a business to flourish by managing that building and helping that business to become the next whatever it might be. It could be a case that you could design something that sustainably will last forever but is using the materials that will last that duration. It's you really have that space. But as I say, it's not just about buildings. You can create community spaces, playgrounds, gardens, function spaces, whatever it might be. And that it also is that job for life. But also you can work and collaborate with others. And that's a really amazing opportunity as well, I think.
Thank you, Charlotte. That is a great note to end on.
Yes, thanks, Charlotte. And thanks, Nadine. That's all we have time for this month. We hope you found it interesting. If you like the podcast, tell others by rating it wherever you found it. Give us a mention on social media with the hashtag 21ccpodcast. You can email us on 21cc@atompublishing.co.uk. Thanks for listening.